Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message. Good morning. Everybody have a good Easter? Yes? I had fun on Easter. I always like getting, I'm a little biased, but I always like getting to hear Josh worship. Anyways, it was a good, fun morning. I enjoyed it. So, and I'm excited for this next step. And I feel like as I was praying through this series and this first message in it, it was funny listening. I listened to Sam's sermon again. Pastor Sam, if you weren't here, Pastor Sam, who was the founding pastor of this church, he preached last week and talked about the crucifixion and resurrection, and I just felt like, man, I couldn't be better set up. So that's always helpful when you feel like there's a good connection, right? So this morning I wanted to talk about, partly what I'm talking a bit about is communication, and which is something I do here at North Rock. So it's something I think a lot about, and I talk a lot about, and I read a lot about, and how we communicate clearly, and how we can all be on the same page, and get a clear message across. And so I feel like that's one of the things in this passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, is a lack of communication that was happening. And as I started thinking about this, I was thinking about, you know, what are examples in my life that I could use, and immediately, I thought of when Josh asked me out for the first time. So we're all going to go back to high school because we started dating when we were 17. And I don't have a picture of us. This is after we were married. We're still pretty young. I think we were maybe 20 in this picture, but we did start dating when we were 17. And it's this funny story that I always like to talk about because I think it perfectly exemplifies in some ways who Josh and I were at the time. But so to give you a little background, I grew up in youth group together, and I was smitten the minute I saw him. And I was like, I really like this guy, and I would like to be more than his friend. And so 2 years passed, guys, where we were friends and we hung out, and I just kept going, he's never going to like me. It's just never going to happen. And so so one of our mutual friends knew of my deep smit for Josh, and he knew that Josh liked me. So typical high school relationship, nobody can communicate clearly, right, directly to one another. So our friend manipulates this situation so that Josh and I are together, and he's like, okay, Josh, I'm going to make it. We'll be hanging out. I mean, we hung out like every night anyways. We hung out all the time. This whole group of friends, we hung out at youth group, but it was like, this is going to be the moment. So we go, and I kind of knew this was going to happen. Like, I knew, you know, we all know what's going on, right? Because, again, high school. And so we get to this friend's house, and we're going inside, and Josh goes, just wait 1 second. I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. And he looks at me, and he goes, I really like you. And I was like, okay, I really like you too. He goes, okay, let's go inside. Oh, he also said, I've never done it like this before. I'm not quite sure what we're doing. And I, after 2 years of really liking this guy and having these near misses, that I needed some concrete, like, what is this? What is our relationship now? Because before I had thought, like, oh, we kind of like each other, and nothing happened. And so I was like, I'm going to need a little more clarity here on what's going on. So we go inside, because I was not as bold then as I am now. And so we go inside, And we're sitting there, and Josh gets up, and he goes to the bathroom, and my friend looks at me, and he goes, "Did he do it?" And I was like, "I don't know what just happened. He said he likes me, but apparently he doesn't like me enough to ask me out or do any, like, he just likes me, I guess. I don't know what this means." And so then Josh comes back, and a few minutes later, I leave the room, and he looks at Josh, and he goes, "So did you do it?" And he goes, "Yeah, I asked her out." He goes, "No, you didn't. She doesn't know what you just did." So we were living two very different narratives at that moment. We're going to look here at a time when Jesus and his disciples were living two very different narratives. If you want to turn with me to John 16, 5 through 8. We're near the end of the Gospel of John, near the end of Jesus' life. We're probably a good 2 hours before he's arrested. He and his disciples are in the Garden of Gethsemane. They have left the upper room. He now has 11 disciples, remember, because one has left to go betray him. So they are walking, and Jesus is at this point downloading all of the information he can into them. Like, this is it. This is, okay, we've got to get this information to you right now. So he said multiple times, if you go back and look through the last two chapters, he said multiple times about he's leaving. And he keeps bringing this up, and leaving, and a helper, and he keeps talking about it over and over. So here it says, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So, at this point, the disciples... I always like to, when I read scripture, it's easy for me to look and be very judgmental at how clueless everyone in scripture was all the time. And like looking, go, "I totally would have got that." Nah. So looking at it from the disciples' point of view, the narrative they're living, they're Jews. They have been waiting for the Messiah to come. They have been walking with this man for 3 years. They believe he is the Christ. They gave up everything for him. They have seen these amazing acts happening, these miraculous acts happening. They are living their life according to very strict law and sacrifice. They've just watched him enter Jerusalem through a gate the king enters, with, like, accolades from everyone there, proclaiming his rule. They are expecting a political upheaval. They are expecting him to come and lead, and that they're going to have a place. They keep arguing about what their place is going to be. This is what they've been taught their whole life. This is what they were raised believing. So this is the narrative they're in. So then all of a sudden into this narrative comes, I'm leaving. They were a little confused. They were a little disappointed. And they needed some more clarity of what was going to happen. So they kept trying to ask. Previously, Peter, when Jesus says, "I'm leaving," Peter goes, "Well, where are you going? Can I go with you? I want to come too." And Jesus said, "You can't come with me. You can't come where I'm going." So they're feeling abandoned and disheartened. Someone who was a close connection with them. Troll people's not a lot of people. Someone who was close to them is betraying them. That's their narrative that they're in right now. But Jesus is in a different narrative. He He was there from the very beginning of creation. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that word God is plural. He was there at the beginning of time. John 1:1 through 3 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being. We later find out that John means Jesus when he says the Word. So it's reinforced there. Jesus was there in the beginning. He's been there through all time. He knows what's going on. Everything he knows, Jesus is aware that everything from the time of Adam and Eve forward has been moving towards this point in history, towards this moment. God foreknew what was happening, and he's been directing the path of humanity to this time. So while he is incredibly distressed by what is in his immediate future and what he has to go through, at the same time as he's feeling that distress, he has joy and excitement for what will be the outcome of this moment. He knows that this moment is about to change everything that has come before. My pastor, who at the church where Josh and I met, is Steve Schell, growing up. And he's a Foursquare pastor. He wrote this, and I just wanted to read it. It's long, but I like the way he says this. God saw human sin and all the trouble it would bring. Yet his loving heart refused to let that sin ruin his plan to form a great family of children, as uncountable as the stars in the sky, filled with sons and daughters with whom he could fellowship forever. So even though he knew we would misuse the freedom he gave us, he also knew there was a way he could save those who chose to use that same freedom to repent of their rebellion and return to him. His plan would be terribly costly to himself and his beloved son. It would require his son to leave heaven and join the human race. He would live on the planet for about 30 years, and during that time, he would raise up disciples who would proclaim him after he was gone. He would be brutally executed. But in doing so, his death would become a substitute for all those who were willing to repent and believe. And then God would raise his son to life, defeating the power of death by removing the condemnation that allows it to keep us in the grave. God wanted us to have free will. He knew we would abuse it and misuse it to sin. He knew. And he knew that he would create a plan for us to come back from that, that we don't have to be stuck in that moment. So the narrative that Jesus is aware of is so much bigger and includes a plan that his disciples couldn't even fathom. As we read this passage and those surrounding it, we see that Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure. He was pouring into them from a picture in his mind about what the plan was. They didn't understand it. It just bounced right off. So, the plan. Here's the plan. It's a four-step plan. Crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and baptism. So we've been talking a lot about the crucifixion and the resurrection in the last series, right? We talked about how Jesus kept saying he was leaving. He was trying to tell them he was going to heaven. We talked about how this was the ultimate sacrifice, one for all, right? So I'm not really going to go much into that because go back and listen to the podcast. We've got a lot on it. We've touched a bit on the ascension. So Jesus died for our sins. He sacrificed his life. He rose from the dead. which we talked about last week, which they weren't prepared for. They didn't understand. They weren't ready for that to happen. In fact, even when they heard it and even when they saw him, they didn't believe it, right? So then I think sometimes we stop here. We kind of settle in and rest into Jesus died and rose again. But we don't go, but what else does that mean? Because there was more that he did than that, right? He then rose from the grave. He went to be with the Father again. He's not just lounging up there. He's not just sitting and biding his time. Sam last week was talking about how he is interceding for us. He's still identifying with us. He is a visual reminder of his sacrifice and of the holiness and righteousness we have gained through that sacrifice. He is a visual reminder to the Father that it has been paid for. It is finished. So what all does this have to do with the Holy Spirit? And why did Jesus have to leave? If you look at this, I'm not going to go through all of this, but you can take a picture of it if you want. These are the ways that the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was around still in the Old Testament and active, but in a different way than we see in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was very external. It was coming upon people. It was moving people. It was speaking to people. It was not the same experience, the same power that we see in the New Testament. So Jesus knew not only would his death bring about the redemption and the saving of our souls, but it would purify and cleanse our bodies. He redeemed the entire world. It wasn't just even humanity, right? It was the whole earth was redeemed in that moment. The original plan was redeemed in that moment. So if you look at in Scripture, specifically even Saul, it says in Scripture that the Spirit came on Saul, but when he sinned, what happened? It departed from him. Now, we are now in a place where the sin that is in us has been paid for and rectified. It has been redeemed. We have been made holy and righteous. So at this time, when we have the Holy Spirit, when we have the Spirit in us, if we sin, does it go away? It doesn't. Because Jesus is there as our intercessor. He is there being reminding, we are holy, we are righteous, we are one with him, it's been paid for, it's been done. So the difference now is we have that Spirit power inside of us in a way that they never could experience in the Old Testament, in a way they couldn't even have imagined. Look at the reactions of all the people as Jesus was going around performing miracles and speaking. What did they keep saying? He speaks differently. He's doing things. He was this crazy person. We've never seen this before. We don't know what this is. He was the first to have that infilling at his baptism when he went and was baptized by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, right? And it came into him, and he was able to then move in that Spirit and power in a new way. That's when his ministry began. That's when his miracles began. That's when things started happening. And I think so often, and I've had this thought and never really followed it through, but I'm always like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool if we were able to just be physically in the presence of Jesus? Like, man, to be able to just talk and ask him questions and find things out. Well, let's think back to what happened when the disciples asked Jesus questions. Did they get answers that they understood? Were they supremely knowledgeable of what the plan was? Did they understand what was going on? No, they were befuddled. They kept saying crazy things like, let's build tabernacles and let's cut people's ears off and let's whatever they're, I mean, well, and sorry, Peter, those were all him. But I mean, really, look at the brightest in how he responded and how he was when Jesus was physically with him. When did he change? He changed after Jesus went to heaven and the Holy Spirit came and filled him. And then listen to him preach. Listen to the authority and the power, the boldness, the confidence that comes out of his mouth. So yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of cool. It'd be really cool to be in Jesus's presence, to see him as a man, to eat with him and hang out and follow him around and watch him do all the cool things. But we are better now. We have it better with him gone. Sometimes I think, and we're like still stuck in the disciples' narrative a bit there, because we say Jesus came, he died, he rose from the grave, we're all going to go to heaven, and he's going to come back someday and take over the earth. And we're still stuck in that narrative of political kingdom. We're still not tracking with what his plan was. And his plan, yes, was to come and die, but he came and died so he could rise, so our bodies could be clean, so that we could have the Holy Spirit, so we could be in this intimate relationship with him that we couldn't be in otherwise. We have access to the Spirit's power in a way we never could have had without his sacrifice and death on the cross. I can walk in the same power Jesus did. He was first, but he wasn't last. He came first. He walked in that power. He was flesh, and he was filled with the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit, and he had that supernatural power that was amazing. But guys, it's not unavailable to us. You can walk in the same power that Jesus did. Turn to somebody and say that. Say, I can walk in the same power that Jesus did. Come on. Do you believe it? Really? Amen. We can pray. We can pray for healing, for blind eyes to be opened. And I'm not just talking like metaphorically. We can pray for blind eyes to be opened. We can pray for people to be risen from the dead. We can pray for healing. We can pray for deliverance from oppression. We can hear those words of knowledge. We can speak boldly the message that he proclaimed. Amen. Amen. So we can't do it on our own, though. And I think sometimes that's where we run into problems, is we forget what power we have available to us. And we're out there, we're like, God, I want to gather, grow, and go. I want to gather people together. I want to bring them into community. I want to grow in you. I want to develop in my knowledge and experience of you, and I want to go. I want to go to my neighbors. I want to go to my city. I want to go to the world. And then we go, okay, I'm going to do it. All on my own. Go back and look at how many times Jesus went away on his own to pray. And every time he came back with compassion. Every time he came back and he was moving and he go, I know what we're doing. I know where we're going.
I know what's happening.
It's just all about us living the right narrative, right? Living the right story. So, to finish it off, the story of Josh and I, he found out we needed some clarity, some clarification on what was happening. So then we went to a local grocery store. So romantic. And he bought me the biggest rose I've ever seen. I think it was, like, literally, like, it was like a tree trunk. I wish I would have saved it. I don't know what happened to it. And I went out and he said, and it sounds so silly now, but he was being really mature. But he goes, I guess I need to ask you to go out with me. I think I needed to ask you this. 17, guys. He thought we were on the same page, and he realized we weren't, so he went back to make sure I understood. Jesus did the same thing with his disciples. He thought he knew. He knew that they didn't understand. So after he rose from the grave, he spent 40 days with them. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? They still didn't get it. He said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. They still didn't quite get it, and it wasn't really until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit that they started getting it, and then they started telling everybody else. But he went back. He went back to clarify. So we know that we are to be in community, we are to be discipling people, we are to be moving them to telling them the gospel, but we can't do it on our own. So Jesus came, he modeled that life for us, he spent 3 years showing us how to do it, and then he died on the cross and rose from the grave and went to be back in heaven with his Father so that we could do the same. I just want us to repeat again. I can walk in the same power Jesus did. Will you say that again? I can walk in the same power that Jesus did. We can. So I want, can you do Holy Ground? As we're singing, I want us to, this song, Holy Ground, I love so much because it talks about Jesus changed everything. And that's the truth of the matter. And it changed more than what we thought. We thought originally it was just, now we won't go to hell. Now we're not going to be punished for our sins, but it's so much bigger than that. Now we can live our lives. Now we can walk around on this earth and be his representative and walk in that power that he has and move boldly in it. And just like Sam said last week, sometimes we don't have to have faith to be faithful. We just need to show up. We just need to ask God, fill me with this. Because as soon as we are saved, we are filled with the Spirit, and then we move forward in that baptism. Amen? So let's sing for just a little bit. And just, let's believe we can walk forward in that. This morning, I would challenge you, as we're singing those words, chains fall, fear bow, lives changed. These are things that we can have happen. These are things we can be a part of through the power of the Spirit. As you go out in that power, you can see chains fall on those around you. You can see fear bow in the lives of those around you. You can see lives healed because we walk in the same power that Jesus had. Amen? Amen. If you have never heard this, or if you want to know Jesus, we want to introduce you. We want to be part of that. So we have a prayer that we pray every week, and we pray it to remind us of what's come before and what is now and what's ahead. So we would love for you to pray that with us if this is your first time, and to come forward and let me know or one of our prayer team. But we have a Savior who came and died on the cross for our sins so that we could live our lives here now in new power. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and trust. Lord God, we thank you that as we pray this prayer, that we are immediately filled with the Holy Spirit, that we have immediate access to that power. And Lord, we pray that on these people, that it would be an infilling, that we would move forward in your power and in your wisdom and guidance, that we would have the helper, the one who comes when we call, present in our life in new and powerful ways, that we would boldly proclaim your message, that we would boldly act when you call us to act, and we would see lives changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and have a good week.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.